For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Do you enjoy this podcast but wish you had more weekly short doses of insights and nuggets? Well, if you didn't know, I recently launched an email newsletter where you can join and connect with a community of like-minded young women around the world, also on the journey of personal growth. This weekly email includes everything from mindful insights and finds, tips on living well, relationships, my personal experiences, and a lot more. Subscribe to get your weekly email newsletter. The link is directly in this podcast episode show notes, or you can head directly to my website at emilyelizabeth.blog and you can sign up from there.
I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. For today's episode, I am doing a special Q&A. This was submitted by a listener, and after looking through some of the questions that she had, I decided that this would be nice for a dedicated episode and one that I do feel like would actually be quite helpful to many of you. And so she had three specific questions, and I'm answering all three of them in this one. The first one being around my favorite books that I've read or that I recommend and is especially centered around relationships, friendships, and or people. So the first book that always comes to mind, and I want to preface this one, is intellectual, a little bit high level, and is a thick book, but I recommend it immensely. It is Principles by Ray Dalio. I read this book in 2017. I still vividly remember getting this book, I think on Amazon, and it arriving to my apartment my junior year of college. And I remember putting it, I think, on my bed wherever I was and just being so excited to read about this book. Now, to backtrack a little bit as to why I even got this book in the first place, 2017 was a year of immense growth for me. I was going through a breakup period, and I was a junior in college. I was 20 or 21 years old, and just figuring out who Emily is, what she wants to be, without my parents' opinions, without my classmates' opinions, without the external noise, which I think is the hardest obstacle to get through in your early 20s, especially because so many people are trying to tell you who you should be, what you should think, how you should think, the values you need to live by. And this was, for me specifically, a breakthrough moment for me. And I think this does happen for most people, not always, but some usually in their mid-late 20s. And just because of the circumstances of my own life, I was also in Southern California, 3,000 miles away from the environment I grew up in, and the only thing I ever knew for 18 years, everything was just so, you know, I had the opportunity to just learn how to become a young adult in my own way, and that was the best thing that could have happened for me. Now, it came with its challenges, right? So 2017, challenging time period of my life. I started to listen to podcasts. I came to Tony Robbins, learned a lot through him. And one of the people that he interviewed was Ray Dalio. And I went through such a transition from early part of, from 18 years old to 20 years old. I was a typical young, late teenager, probably on the emotional, reactive side. Some of the things that I will openly admit that sometimes can have a little bit of a stereotype around women and emotions and their lack of ability to control them and whatever wording you want to use. And I personally was one of those people. And it's interesting talking about that and how I still see it today, where men and women, doesn't matter who, but people who are not able to refrain from reacting on their emotions, especially in the moment, and lacking self-regulation. I'm so grateful that despite how hard it was for me at the time, just as a developing young adult at the age of 20, I learned so much about how to self-regulate and how to calmly proceed and speak to people with respect and in a calm manner. And one of those people, just through hearing him alone, was Ray Dalio. And so all of the things that he talked about in the interview with Tony Robbins, which I actually saved so I could re-listen from time to time, I ended up being like, wow, I want to learn more from him. And so shortly after, and I'm talking a month or two after, he came out with a book called Principles, and I immediately bought it. And my biggest takeaway from reading this, I highlighted so much in that book, my biggest takeaway was learning how to make decisions based on the foundation of my values and principles. And that means my values and my principles, not my mom's, not my dad's, not my friends, not my college, but what my principles are. And that time frame of my life allowed me to really think about what my actual principles are and why those principles are aligned for me. And the reason why I pertain this to relationships and friendships and people is because a lot of the decisions that we make in life do often involve or revolve around other people, especially in relationships, right? And in friendships. And so for me, one of my core principles is integrity and openness and transparency and kind of all how those merge together. And so that is how I lead all of my relationships. I am open, I'm transparent, I'm honest. And that's also a value I seek to have from people I allow into my life and those I choose to involve myself with. And by having this foundation, it has also reduced a lot of stress in wondering whether I should keep certain people in my life. This is also a struggle I see in a lot of people. This is natural, right? But I think as we all go through life, we have to learn how to shift a little bit to improve our health and our life. And sometimes if you're still doing the same thing 10 years from now and you're complaining about it, or you see the way it adds to your stress or it doesn't help your mental health, that is a you problem. Whether you like to hear that or not, that is 100% on you. If you keep someone in your life that doesn't share the same principle and it bothers you so much, the hard lesson one has to learn there is choosing yourself and not choosing the person that keeps letting you down or keeps, let's say your one of your big principles is honesty or integrity, and you're surrounding yourself with someone that consistently is dishonest or consistently hides something from you, right? Whether that's a friend or a family member, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we try to make exceptions to these, and that's kind of where things can get bumpy. And so all that to say, understanding what my values are and were, which they have remained the same since I made that decision when I was 20 or 21, has made life a lot simpler for me. I haven't had to think through this and that, or, you know, whether this person is a good fit in my life. Things were very evident for me. And he talks a lot about other aspects too, again, about work and family and relationships and all of that, but it's a book that covers principles in all aspects of life, and I highly recommend it, especially if you know you're in a place where you're dedicated, you are curious, and you really want to understand different things to kind of shift your perspective and hopefully improve your life in this way. The second book I would recommend, it's a very small, short, simple read that you can reread on a monthly basis. It is called How to Love by Thich Nhat Hanh. And Thich Nhat Hanh is a Vietnamese, I guess you could say, Buddhist, or I believe he is technically a Buddhist. He passed away, I believe, in 2022. I could be wrong on the year, though. But the reason why I decided to write this one down is because for me personally, it has helped me better understand the deep root of love, and especially love within all kinds of relationships, but especially in romantic relationships. And it's kind of funny because when you read the title, How to Love, you might be like, huh, I wonder what this book really means. And I just love the short passages, the short reminders that are so common in today's world. I mean, and these are things I'll tell my friends too. If I catch them, I don't know, or friends or peers, whoever, if I catch them thinking about something in a certain way, I think the easiest one, and I just flipped to it, the passage was called, like, Are You Sure? And I just lost the page now. But from what I remember, it's basically always questioning your assumptions. The amount of times when we assume something, especially in any relationship, and the way it can make us suffer internally and then can also make our relationship suffer because of the way we proceed with the relationship.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It happens so frequently. And so that's why I do encourage this book for those of you who are learning how to be better in relationships, and you're aware that you're not a perfect person, and you are aware that there are things that you can do better, I highly recommend this book. And even if you're not in a relationship right now, it's kind of a great place to like pique your curiosity, because I am a believer that you naturally end up attracting and keeping people in your life that are at a similar frequency, vibration, energy, intellectual level, whatever. I think it just kind of naturally happens, whether we like that or not. We tend to gravitate towards people that are at a similar scale, okay? And I do believe that when it comes to romantic relationships, that is one aspect as well. When you are secure and healthy and self-aware, and let's say you come across someone that is not as much that way and clearly has some unhealthy ways of being, especially towards you as a potential partner or partner, there's a part of you that's going to be like, you know, something is pushing me away from this person. I think this one is very obvious when you're in the talking stage or you're getting to know someone and something kind of comes up and you just feel the, oh, that's not right. That's not aligned with me. Long story short, one of my best friends, she went on a date many years ago. And I remember after the fact, she was telling me like certain comments that this guy made on their very first date. And she was telling him that she was running a marathon, I think later that year. And he's like, oh, you know, I heard marathons are not good for you, right? And instantly, because she is someone I consider very healthily independent and her own person, and she's comfortable and confident to be on her own, right? Obviously, she's not going to keep up with a guy that's going to make a negative comment like that, or just a comment that's not helpful in the context, you know? So again, it kind of depends on where you're at in your own life. But when you've become comfortable in yourself, and then you've also worked on these other aspects, I think oftentimes you're going to either repel or attract certain types of people. And I am a firm believer of that in love. And then the last book I do recommend, this one is definitely more on the professional lens, so professional relationships and in work. And this book is also geared towards women specifically, but I recently read it. It's called Women, Work, and the Art of Savoir-Faire. Savoir-faire, I don't know how to fully say that. It's definitely in French. But this book is just about business sense and sensibility. And this one is really good beyond just professional relationships, but this one's really good at combining, as a woman, the love of all the things, right? Especially if you enjoy working and having a career and having something for yourself where you get to do it for a living. I think this book is great. It talks a lot about so many different things, but also from a French woman's perspective who's also lived in the US and was a CEO of a very notable champagne company. But I personally took a lot away from that as well. I've also personally have always had a lot of my feminine style, and my mentality also stems quite a bit from French culture. So all that to say, I really enjoyed the book, and I do think it's great for those of you who want to enjoy what you do, are seeking to grow and have an ambition in that, but also you're aware, or you know, like, it's also not the end all be all, that like your career is not the only thing that's important in life. Okay, the second question she had for me is, how do you take inspiration from amazing people without feeling like you are behind in your own life compared to them? So my answer is really simple on this, and I want to preface that my mentality and my mindset and my approach to life is not always for everyone, but this is how I personally approach life, and this is why I speak the way I do, the way I think about things, the way I do. And I have always been, as some would call it, a little delusional, in the sense that, although I don't think it's delusional, I compare myself to people that most people would think it's crazy to compare yourself to those people. I've done that because I don't see, let's say, celebrities or business people or anyone that's just marginally more successful than me, at least on the financial level, or even the things that they've got to do in their life. I've never seen those people as superior, or I've never seen those people as marginally different than me, in the sense that they have more talent or means or whatever than me that makes them more likely to be able to do it than me. Does that make sense? So obviously I'm aware, like in, let's say, sports, right? Like Michael Phelps or any female swimmer, easier comparison, who is taller than me and built a different way, she's probably going to be more naturally equipped for swimming, let's say, you know, on a professional level. But I'm also not, let's say, I'm not in realms that I don't feel like, I have a really great shot, right? So I want to kind of preface that, because in my day-to-day life, I've never compared myself to people in the sense of, oh, like, she's more this than me, she's more this, and I can't do that. I've actually always been the reverse. I compare myself to people for the sake of, ah, she is an example of why I can do the thing that I have set out to do. Or she is an example of why I can buy a future apartment in Manhattan because she did this. And she did it at this age too. And she did it with this career and this background. Like, to me, that's made me recognize how realistic it is compared to the alternative, which is, oh, I can't do that because I'm not this enough, or I'm not here, or I'm not there yet, or I came from this. I have never put limits on why I can or can't do something. I've actually always, since early college years, I've always compared myself to people in the way that they are the reason I'm able to. So this has also been when I grew up. I remember the first time I saw Kendall and Kylie Jenner, it was on Teen Vogue, and I used to get the magazine subscription, and I saw them in magazines and I was like, I can too, right? And I'm sitting in my hometown of 8,000 people in Pennsylvania, and I'm just thinking, oh yeah, I'll go out to LA one day. I can do that too. I can be out there. I can make it in whatever shape or form that I want to. There's nothing more special about Kendall and Kylie or whoever people often idolize. There's nothing in my brain, there is nothing more special about these other people that makes them more capable of doing something that I want to do. So keep that in mind as you think about how comparison is and whether you want to use comparison to your advantage, because that's something I decided to do. So the last question is, how do you keep working on stuff that is important to you in the age of distractions? Or if you want to focus on any other vices that reduce your productivity / laziness, etc. Okay, also an easy answer for me. Now, I want to preface, I'm saying this from now years in, and so I understand if you're going to start this now, you got to take it with a grain of salt that I'm sharing this 4 to 5 years later of already implementing some of this. But the biggest one is that I don't have television. I have not had a TV in my home since 2019. I guess here's the interesting part. So since my senior year of college, I have not had a physical TV in my home. And that year was because my roommate and I at the time, neither of us wanted to buy a TV, basically to contribute to the apartment. So what happened? We did not have a TV. We had a living room. We had a couch. We did not have a TV. It was very interesting. Fast forward a year without TV, I'm like, okay, I don't really care. And I don't think I even had Netflix or Hulu or anything. And so I think the first year out of college, I did end up getting TV for like decor, but I barely watched TV, to be honest. And then the second year out of college, I did also have a TV. Again, at the time, I still didn't have any streaming services, to be honest. I had friends that were kind enough to give me their login, so I would occasionally watch a certain series like Succession or things like that. But I have been very lucky to I've never had an addiction to television or reality TV or anything like that. So I'm gonna start with that first. Since living in LA and moving to New York, I have not had a television in my apartment. And part of it is because I don't necessarily have room. I definitely could hang it on the wall if I really wanted to in my New York apartment, but I personally don't care for a television and I don't have any streaming service. I don't have Netflix, Hulu, whatever is out there. And so this is years in the making of not having that. So this takes out a lot of the vices that I think is very easy to go into when you have TV, when you have streaming services. It's easy to like sit down, eat dinner, and like watch something. I've already reduced what I would say like the friction of decision making. I don't have these things in my life, so I don't even have to decide how I spend my time or what I do. When I'm home, I'm eating dinner. Sometimes I'm watching tennis highlights now that like Australian Open is back. You know, sometimes I'm just watching it for my own like athlete motivation. But oftentimes, you guys, I have so much on my plate filled with things that I want to do and filled with people that I want to spend it with. So I genuinely, with no exaggeration, I do not have time to indulge in watching any kind of television. Now, the other part of this, okay, so now everyone's going to be like, well, that's easy for you. You don't have TV. Most people have a television. Okay. The other aspect that you can do if it's harder to remove television or you're just not going to sell your TV right now, the other things I would do is figure out, number one, what are your actual priorities? So are you someone that considers herself a wellness-focused person, a health-focused person, an intellectual-focused person, all of the above, whatever that is? How does your schedule reflect that? Does your schedule actually reflect those priorities? Meaning, if you are a health and wellness-focused person, are you cooking your own meals? Are you creating time to cook your own meals? Are you going to workouts? Like, are you doing resistance training, like lifting? Are you doing a mix of that and yoga and some sort of sport, whatever that is? Are you actually scheduling that? Okay, if the answer is like yes, maybe no, okay, find a way to create certain commitments where if you commit and then you try to back out, there are consequences, okay? This is something I even do. And this is coming from someone that I'm working out every single day in the month of January. It hasn't been too difficult for me personally, but with a financial commitment like ClassPass or when you book ahead, like SoulCycle, whatever, there is a financial consequence. If you try to cancel, let's say, I think 12 hours before the class, or if you don't show up, there's a financial penalty, right? And for me, that's a big push because I'm not trying to lose 20, 30 bucks on a class that I didn't show up to, right? So if I book that class for 7 a.m., you know I'm going to wake up and I'm going to make sure I'm going to be there. And other ways to do that too. I don't do that for every single workout, but I also have an accountability friend. If we go on a morning walk together, I know that I'm going to look like not a great friend and not a great person and not committed if I miss the 6:30 morning walk that we said we were going to do. So you have to fill up your schedule with important things that you claim are a priority so that you do not have time for distractions, right? I'll tell you an average day for me. In the morning, it's always a workout. It's either tennis, skating, I'm lifting, Pilates, yoga, or a long morning walk. There is something there blocked off, and I usually finish my workout or I get back home usually around 9 a.m., give or take, okay? And then from like 9 to 10, that's when I'm eating breakfast, I'm showering, I'm cleaning up my apartment, things like that. Sometimes it'll take me to 10:30, okay? Then the rest of the day is like work or meetings, a mix of podcasting, a bunch of those things. And then at the end of the day, I'm usually, well, usually like still working to some capacity. But if not, I'm usually spending that with a friend. Again, I'm doing this ahead of time. I schedule into my calendar where I will text my friend, hey, do you have plans Friday? Do you want to go grab dinner? Do you want to go grab a drink? If this month I'm not drinking, but if I'm going to go out for a cocktail, that's what I'm going to do. I would do that with a friend. So I'm going to have one martini and I'm going to indulge in chatting and catching up with a friend. Friends and relationships and having great relationships, that is for me a top priority. And so that's why I will schedule it ahead. And so all of these things in my calendar, even on the weekday, let's say a Wednesday evening, it's pretty common for me to hit up some of my best friends and be like, hey, who wants to do a cookie night at my place? Or who wants to do dessert night at my place? We'll bake something, come over around 7:30. 7:30 to 9 or 9:30 are like time with my girlfriends, right? Like that is how I reduce distraction and vices that do not add to my life. I think so many people, if that is your biggest struggle right now, that you lose focus or you start to get lazy and do things that you know are distracting to you. And I want to tell you guys, I am also, what do you want to call it? A culprit of this. Like I'm also not 10 out of 10 all the time. I get distracted on Instagram all the time because it is part of my job. And so I end up staying on Instagram too long, right? Of course, it happens to me too. But the time commitments or the things that are on my schedule, if I'm running late, I'm like, oh shit, like I have to get off my phone. I have to get ready or I have to go make breakfast. Like I have to do these things. And so create those commitments for yourself in your schedule and not to overdo it, of course, but to the point where you have something to look forward to. It's something that's healthy and good for you mentally, physically, emotionally. And over time, you'll notice that, wow, I really don't have even time to sit down and watch this show that's been distracting me, or I don't have time to sit down and kind of scroll on TikTok or whatever. If you have the time to do those things and you replace that, right? Don't try to remove it necessarily, but try to just replace it. Replace that time. If you know from 6 to 8 p.m. you end up getting distracted and you do stupid stuff, maybe schedule a random weekly activity you can do. Maybe join a book club. Maybe you go to pottery class. Maybe sign up for learning a new instrument or revisiting an instrument you used to do, right? That's something I've been doing too, is like trying to play piano again more and trying to take lessons, trying to indulge in all these things that I am interested in. And so all that to say, how do I keep the stuff important to me as top priority? Well, I schedule it. And I make sure that I actually create time for it first so that I have very little time for the things that do not matter. That is all for today's solo Q&A episode. I hope this one was helpful. As always, I love engaging with you guys. This one was submitted by a follower and listener. So if you are someone that has questions or you would love for me to talk about certain topics on this podcast, please, please, please let me know. You can DM me on Instagram at Emily E. Duong or at What Fulfills You. All the social media links are in the show notes as always. And I love chatting and keeping up with you guys. So that is all I have. Thanks so much, and I'll talk with you all in the next episode.
Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.